welcome to another Book on the Shelf podcast. I'm Jet.
And I'm Jen.
We're on episode 139.
Damn.
That's so crazy.
Right?
It's just so crazy. This is one of our Bookstagram Made Me Do It episodes.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I saw this all over Bookstagram. Right?
As we have just been discussing, have been really bad at Instagram lately. So, true. I don't know. But I know I see Anthony Horowitz everywhere always.
Yeah.
And I've never read any of his books.
And, like, what I'm learning is because he's written a kabillion books.
A bajillion things.
Like, so, like, literally.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't, like, mm-hmm. I'm still scrolling when I'm looking here. And, like, it's still going.
Yeah.
So many books. And, like, screenplays and stuff too.
I know,
like, literally so much stuff. Anyways, we are going to be talking about it's because I keep forgetting if it's The Twist of a Knife or A Twist of a Knife.
I also keep forgetting that as well,
so I'm just gonna go with Twist of a Knife.
By Anthony Horowitz. The Twist of a Knife.
The Twist of a Knife.
Yes.
Which, like, makes sense because, like, I marked that down because, like, it's, there was, like, a quote somewhere in there.
Yes.
And I, like,
yes.
Wrote it down. It was like, oh, the title, huzzah. You know, and there's that moment where it's like, ah, there you go.
Yes.
But yeah. But I've done, because, like, when I look at the cover, I feel like I've for sure seen that.
For sure seen this cover.
And the problem with our hashtag Bookstagram Made Me Do It episodes is sometimes it means you can't get the book.
Yes, this is the main thing we've come up against, is, like, the waiting list for library holds is, like, months long.
Yeah, and that, again, is because we are trying to be responsible financially.
Yes.
And spatially in our apartments.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And supporting our local libraries, because we love libraries.
We love libraries.
I was talking to someone the other day, and they were like, oh, yeah, I have a bunch of books on hold. And I was like, on hold? That sounds like the library. And then they sent me a screenshot, and it was totally like their Libby list. And I was like, oh my God, it's Libby. Yes.
Amazing. I love my Libby app so much.
Yeah. But yeah, so this was a nice, like, in between of, like,
mm-hmm.
definitely on the Bookstagram, but also we could get it. And then when mine expired, I could borrow it again immediately.
Oh, that's good. I timed mine perfectly where I was like, mine doesn't expire for another 6 days, so
I got mine too early on because I got it on the jump and I was like, yeah, let's do it.
Yes.
Obviously
always a mistake.
Yeah, not realizing because, like, I was gonna read it a couple seconds before we record this. No,
yeah,
it was more than a couple seconds, but yeah. So I did have to renew it once. Why don't you tell us about Anthony Horowitz?
Yes, so I'll give you a little bit of a rundown on what this man has written. So, he's the author of the U.S. best-selling Magpie Murders and The Word is Murder, one of the most prolific and successive writers in the English language. That's insane.
Yeah. Okay, like, so many books. So many books.
Absolutely bananas.
Yeah.
This is a fun fact. He may have committed more fictional murders than any other living author. That's honestly hilarious, and I love him for that.
Yeah.
So his novel, Trigger Mortis, features original material from Ian Fleming, who wrote the James Bond series, for those who don't know. His most recent Sherlock Holmes novel, Moriarty, is a reader favorite, and his best-selling Alex Rider series for young adults, which I've definitely heard of, has sold more than 19 million copies worldwide.
Well, yeah, because there's, like, 13 plus books.
Yeah, that's bananas. But he doesn't just do novels and fiction. As a TV screenwriter, he has created both the Midsummer series, Midsummer Murders, which I've also
definitely
heard of.
Yep. Yep.
I've never watched it, though.
No.
I'd be intrigued. And the BAFTA-winning Foyle's War on PBS, which I have not heard of.
No. But, like, yeah, he has tons of, like, so, like, the Alex Rider is, like, YA. There's piles of YA stuff. He has entire, like, children's series novels as well.
Man.
So, like, middle grade, I guess. And then, and even a whole bunch of that stuff was like turned into graphic novels. There's at least two Sherlock Holmes. And yeah, we mentioned the James Bond. I think there's at least three of those. And then this is actually book four in the Hawthorne and Horowitz series. And book five is coming out at some point this year. I mean, unless it happened to come out in the last 29 days. But yeah, then you the fifth one's coming out this year. And there's
a novella. In case that wasn't all enough, he also regularly contributes to a wide variety of national newspapers and magazines.
Of course.
What? Sir, where do you find the time? I mean, I suppose this is clearly his full-time job.
Yes.
Like, he does not have to squeeze this in between anything else. He's obviously making bank with this. So, kudos to this man.
Yep.
Yeah, wild.
Absolutely. Well, and he has the OBE and the CBE.
Yes.
He got that, yeah, so Order of the British Empire, or Officer of the Order of the British Empire, and then I think it's Commander of the Order of the British Empire. But yeah,
those
in
sound
2014 and 2022.
So fake.
I know, because it's like our Governor General's awards, right? Like, it's this kind of, like, fancy award thing, you know, like, that's why it's, like, Dame Judi Dench and, like, all the sirs and dames and stuff, right? Like, it's not...
Yeah, it's weird.
Right.
Strange. But, most, like, wild.
The most excellent order of chivalry. Yeah, okay.
Okay.
But yeah, it's so crazy that, like...
England.
Fair. Like, you know, we just, like, randomly pick this book, but then it's this person who's written, like, 12,000 books
and
is, like, super
God.
Famous. We're like, oh, look at that. Love it.
Oh. Yeah. Bananas.
But yes, as I said, this is the fourth in the Whodunit series. So there was The Word is Murder, The Sentence is Death, and A Line to Kill. Except this time, Horowitz becomes the prime suspect in the murder investigation. And of course, the only person that can help him is Detective Hawthorne. So Horowitz has a thriller, a play, which is a thriller called Mind Game. It's about to open at the Vaudeville Theatre in London's West End. Hawthorne declines a ticket, of course. The play is panned by critics and... that's totally the wrong name. It's Harriet Throsby.
It is Harriet.
But on whatever I copied from, it said Margaret. Harriet Throsby writes an awful review, of course. And the next day, she is murdered. Which, with a dagger that happened to belong to Anthony. So the first thing we have to obviously point out...
Yes.
...is that the characters... are mostly real.
Yes.
As in, like, Anthony Horowitz is the author, but also the main character.
Correct.
And then when I was reading the acknowledgements, like, in the book, his wife's name is Jill. His wife's name is Jill. His agent is his agent. Like, so it's, like, all the stuff is, like, real? So I had this moment of, like, wait, what?
I also had that moment when I was reading the acknowledgments, and then I reread them and realized how carefully worded it all is.
Yeah.
But also, there is that disclaimer at the end that's like, this is a work of fiction.
Yeah. One, because, like, it talks about...
I was like, I didn't actually think this man had been accused of murder, but, like...
Yeah.
Damn.
Well, because just because, like, they talk about, you know, everyone that they come across, they're like, oh, yeah, my son's read your Alex Rider series. Like, even the play, like, Mind Game is a play that he wrote.
So wild.
And all that stuff, like, really happened. Like, it was so...
Yeah.
And there's another play mentioned, The Handbag. Also a play that he wrote.
Oh, my God.
And, like, I guess I just never thought about just, like, writing fiction, but real.
Yeah, like, I'm trying to think if there's anything else I could think of where an author has done this.
Aside from... Lucas Scott on One Tree Hill.
Correct. Sides from him.
Yes. If you want to hear all about that, listen to our other podcast. Because that's where we are in that series. Is it fiction or was it a memoir? But as we've established, this is fiction, but just happens to be all real people.
Yeah. he's just inserted himself into the story. Well, I'm also assuming that, like, Hawthorne is not real.
Yeah, that I couldn't, I didn't delve that deep in my research, but I was just like, oh man, is he?
Well, and it's funny because it sets up this kind of, like, almost Sherlock Watson.
Yes.
Type of relationship between the two of them, right? Yeah. Because, like, Watson always is the one that's writing the stories. Like, when you read a Sherlock Holmes story, it is written by Watson.
Okay.
From his perspective, just, like, as someone observing Sherlock Holmes do his work and, like, occasionally helping out. So it sets up that same kind of dynamic where, and especially even with just, like, Detective Hawthorne being, like, really eccentric, kind of keeping to himself. This weird thing that he's got going on with his brother is also very reminiscent of, like, Sherlock Holmes and his brother and, like, all that kind of stuff. Like, you can see where he is playing with that same dynamic, which is kind of fun. Yeah.
Well, like, it totally makes sense, too, because, you know, he has written Sherlock Holmes, and it was, like the actual, like, estate of Doyle, like, was, like, you are allowed to write, like, we have picked you. And then, yeah.
Oh, like, yeah, when does that enter the public domain?
I don't know. I was just reading a thing, and it, where did it go? In 2014, the estate, oh, no, wait, that's Ian Fleming. Oh, Ian Fleming, too. Basically, the estates of all of these old dead guys have picked him. 2011, the estate of Arthur Conan Doyle announced that he would be the new writer of a new Sherlock Holmes. 2014, the estate of Ian Fleming commissioned him to write a James Bond novel.
Yeah, because the estate of Arthur Conan Doyle is apparently very particular about the portrayal of Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah. Which makes sense.
Yeah. So anyway, interesting.
Yeah. So yeah, so the book starts with him telling Hawthorne he's not gonna, so basically also in the books, Horowitz has worked with Hawthorne to solve some murders or, like, write books, but, like, with his detectiving and solving murders.
Mm-hmm.
And they've done 3 books, and he's telling Hawthorne he's not going to write another book with him.
Yeah.
They've done their contract. It's over. Peace. So that's when he's going to focus on this play that's coming out. He, like, you meet all the cast of the show, the director, the producer, etc. The play happens. It's like a kind of, like, there's a murderer in, like, an asylum, and then, obviously, you know, stuff happens.
Yeah.
The usual hijinks of serial killers and asylums.
Yes.
And they go, and then it's the, there's like a first, like the first night party after everyone's kind of talking. The critic shows up. Everyone's like, oh, critics usually don't come, but this one, Harriet, always does. And they've all received like ornamental daggers from the producer. Yay, play's done, whatever. The next morning, the critic has been murdered by one of the daggers.
Yes.
And then wild times ensue.
Yes. Right?
And I felt like, you know, like, obviously, like, as we're, once you get to the, like, anything, you know, any good Columbo.
Right.
At the end, I was like, oh my god, this is the most, like, Columbo moment ever.
Yeah.
Which I love. I was enjoying it.
Yeah.
Like, you get all the crumbs, and then you're always like, oh, well, this person, and, like, they do, even early on, they, like, totally tell you who, I mean, spoiler, obviously, we're gonna tell you who did it.
Yes, we are.
If you've been here before, never mind on a murder mystery, obviously, we're gonna tell you.
Yeah, we're telling you who done it, for sure. So, if you don't want to know, skip this one.
Yeah. And, like, there's times where, like, they, one of them, like, Tony flat out says who he thinks, you know, thinks it is, and then it does end up that, but, like, you go through all this, and, like, there ends up being, like, so much more of, like, a wild story attached to everything.
Right?
But then it does all weave together and make total sense. And then Hawthorne has his, like, literally up on the theater stage moment where he's going through and, like, connecting all the dots. And it makes sense where, like, any of the people could have done it. And, like, the whole time I just kept, like, I feel like I hadn't figured it out. But, or, like, one of it was like, oh yeah, it'll probably be like, well, once that part of the storyline was introduced, I was like, oh, maybe it's like that one, but like I didn't know how we were getting there.
Yeah, I literally had no idea.
Yeah.
I am also just extremely bad at figuring out murder mysteries, generally speaking. I don't know why.
But I mean, I think that's what you want in a murder mystery though, right? Like,
yeah, for sure.
Because like for a while I was convinced that it was Hawthorne.
Oh, interesting.
To then like get Horowitz, like, because he was trying to get Horowitz to like work with him again. Mm-hmm. There was a while where I thought maybe like Harriet killed herself.
Oh, interesting.
And yeah, again, so there's the three actors in the play, yeah. Jordan, Tyrion, and Skye. Mm-hmm. And then Ewan, who is the director.
Yeah.
The producer.
Yep.
Ashmet? I can't remember. There was, well, and then Tony, who was the writer.
Assistant Maureen.
Oh, yeah, the assistant Maureen. Harriet's husband.
Yeah.
Harriet's daughter.
Yep.
And, like, technically kind of, like, the stage door guy, because he's in the theater and, like, was around. But, like, not really. No one, I don't think. But everybody else, like, kind of had, like, especially, like,
the cast. And then the insurance guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The accountant?
Accountant. Yeah. That's what it was. Not insurance. Accountant.
Martin.
Money.
That was the other one. Martin. Yep. Something to do with money. And, like, it's always just because, you know, like, you don't know who someone is, and then...
Mm-hmm.
So, obviously, of course, Tony is arrested and, like, put in jail overnight. Hawthorne... the police department's, like, lab computer stuff goes down while they're testing the DNA, which is definitely going to prove that it was... Or, like, not prove that he did it, but be his DNA.
Yes.
Goes down, so... And they're only... I guess on, like, British law, you can only hold, like... Same thing, I guess, you know, like... They had a certain amount of hours before they had to, like, let him go. Yeah,
you can only hold someone for so long before, like, I guess having to officially charge them or something or whatever.
Yeah. Or, having some kind of, like, evidence, like...
Evidence. Yeah, I mean, it must be slightly different, I guess, in the British system, because I think... Which, I mean, I guess you have to have a certain amount of evidence to officially charge a person, but...
Yeah, and it made it sound like the, you know, kind of, like, someone who'd be, like, a judge had to make the call of, like, something, whatever, and, it was... Different enough than Law and Order, but lawyery enough that I was like, okay, that makes sense. So either way, because they couldn't get their evidence because it was like, or like prove the DNA or anything, he was released. Obviously, then he goes to like Hawthorne and is like, you have to help me figure this out. And then they just end up on this like, because it's like two days, I guess.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, because I think the play was like Tuesday night.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so then he was, like, Wednesday to Thursday, he was in jail, and then it was, like, the rest of, like, Thursday and Friday is when they're, like, going around and interviewing everybody.
Right.
And then it was the Saturday, like, morning before the matinee.
Yeah.
That they were doing the reveal.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I was just, like, all over the place. I mean, and, like, Harriet was, like, clearly, like, an awful human being.
Yes, she was terrible. She was a horrible human being. Like, her husband and her daughter also hated her.
Yeah, like, they were sad, but also not sad. I think the
I'm not sure her daughter at any point pretended to even be sad.
No, yeah, she was like, Dad, like, she's dead. Like, it doesn't matter now. We are free. Like, it's cool.
Wild. Oh, man.
But
I love how, because, yeah, the husband, I guess, is doing at least, like, a little bit of a good show.
Yeah, he's, like, clearly, like, in shock, sort of.
Yeah.
But then by the Saturday, he's, like, had a haircut and, like, doing fine.
Yeah, he's, like, dressed differently. And, like, Anthony is just, like, yeah, he's wearing this well.
Yeah.
Like, that's hilarious.
Well, even, like, Anthony doesn't tell his wife. Like, she was just, like, oh.
That was the most insane thing to me in this entire novel was that he does not tell his wife that he spent the night in jail.
Because, like, by the time he got home from the theater, he was kind of drunk because they had, like, a...
Yeah, they had some drinks.
The cast and kind of crew, like, went back and had drinks after. And then they read like Harriet's review, and it was awful, and like that's when then everybody got mad and they all kind of went home. Mm-hmm. So he was like drunk when he got home, so he just like slept, I guess, in like the spare bedroom. So his wife had like gone to work and everything that day. So then when he was arrested, she was like at work, and he didn't call her with his phone call. He called Hawthorne.
Nope, he called Hawthorne.
And then then he had to spend the night in jail, and it was that like next whenever they were having dinner. And she was just like, oh, yeah, where were you? And he's like, oh, you know, I went over to Hawthorne. Or did he say Hawthorne's or whoever's? And just
I
like.
Think he said it was like the director's or something.
Yeah, Ewan's, you know, and we, you know, put one on. And like, I was, you know, I couldn't, wasn't going to be able to get home. So I just like crashed on his couch kind of thing. And she was like, okay.
Like, that's what was nuts to me. Even spending his phone call on Hawthorne instead of his wife, I was like, okay, like, fine, I guess.
Yeah.
Not that he couldn't have asked his wife to contact Hawthorne, but whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, I get it. Yeah. You're taught, you're contacting somebody who can, like, help you figure out what is actually going on here.
Well, and has, like, albeit, like, not a great relationship, but a relationship with law enforcement around you.
Right.
So, like, maybe, yeah.
Right.
But, yeah, still, I was like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
As soon as he didn't call the wife.
Yes. Asked him point blank. I was like, this is madness.
Yeah.
If I was married to somebody and they were arrested and spent the night in jail and then they did not tell me about it, we would have words.
Yeah. Oh, man. But then, so because, so, and I'm guessing in the theory, in the series, there's a kid that lives in Hawthorne's building, Kevin.
Yes.
And he's kind of like a computer hacker, whiz kid. Mm-hmm. He seems to be like a character that perhaps you would know if you have read other books.
Which I love, yeah.
And I guess what he had done was after Tony had called Hawthorne, he had gone in and, like, basically, like, took down the police lab internet server. And he was like, you maybe have 48 hours, like, at some point. Because, like, you know, he made it enough so that it wasn't, like, too awful, but, like, enough to just,
yeah,
like,
he didn't,
buy
like,
time.
Destroy anything. He just, like... Yeah.
Yeah. Some
I think
kind of
like
Trojan
it somehow
horse
overwhelmed
like,
the system so that it just like stopped functioning.
And they would have to get someone to come in to like, you know, unhack it or whatever.
Yeah.
So they're like, okay, we have 48 hours. And that's when they go and like, they go to the theater and like question everyone or question the three actors. And that, and like, they all have, all those characters were really interesting. Like, Jordan, you know, he's a bit older, clearly having trouble with his wife, but we learn, like, so he's American and indigenous, but then he, like, married a British woman, so, like, that's why he, how he ended up there. And for a second there, all of a sudden, I thought he was, like, stolen and put in residential schools, but he was more just talking about that, and he was just actually, like, put in foster care or whatever.
Yeah.
But it was just such a, like, because obviously that's something that, like, we know so much of here.
Yes.
But I just, like, wasn't expecting that to, like, come up in this random British novel.
Yeah, it's true. Especially because they just, like, don't seem to be as aware of it over there, which makes sense. I mean, why would they be? But, yeah.
Yeah. And then, despite the fact that it kind of was them.
Yeah, a little bit.
And but I guess like at the night when they were kind of having their post after party, he had like when they had read the review, he had like, oh, you know, Harry should die, and like stabbed his dagger into a cake, so everyone was like, oh, it's gonna be him, like. And then we talked to Tyrion, who's like the younger guy in the play, and he's gonna be in a Christopher Nolan movie in Tenet. This is why
this
I was
is
so...
the other thing, right? Like, he's like fully talking about like actual things.
Yeah, like, there were real people and real things that are happening. Yeah. And that's why even, like, some of the stuff I didn't look up, because I'm like, this is going to be too much of, like, a mindfuck if all this stuff, like...
Right?
If all of the places and, like, you know, the school names and the different newspapers, and if I'm like, if all of this stuff is real,
yeah,
this is too crazy.
Yeah, I did wonder if, like, was it Moxham Heath?
Yeah.
I wondered if that was a real place. I didn't actually look it up, though. Yeah. I'm assuming the Vaudeville Theater is real.
So.
Yeah.
But yeah, so basically he's just, his parents died when he was little and he lived with his aunt and, you know, nothing kind of whatever. Skye is, plays the nurse in the play and she's like super fancy compared to everybody. Everything's brand names and fancy and whatever. And then, so yeah, they talked to all of them and they talked to the stage door manager, Keith. And that's when we learned that, like, you know, everyone had to like sign in and out. And like, I looked at that little chart so hard.
Oh, me too.
And I can't believe that I didn't
Same.
catch it. Because I caught that,
Same.
like,
Yes, that someone
Maureen.
was, yes, that they were using the 12-hour clock and the 24-hour clock.
Yeah.
Like, I totally clocked that. I was like, oh, they're using two different.
But not that one of them
Yep.
had mixed them.
Same. And I was like, wow.
Literally, in my notes, I was like, when that was revealed later, I was like, damn it.
I know, especially because like I actually stared at it for so long.
That's literally the note that I wrote down. You looked at this so hard.
Like, all right, so don't be a detective, self.
Man. And yeah, so then we go, then do we go to the producers, I think?
I think so, yeah.
And obviously, that's when we talked to like Maureen, the assistant, and him, and this random man that they had seen at the party. He leaves. And they're like, again, who is this random man? And that's when we learn he's the accountant.
Yes.
So again, we think nothing of this.
Nope.
And then the same day, then they also still go to the directors. I think.
Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah.
And like everyone has these like weird things where they're all connected to each other. So Skye had actually just been in a play with the produ like from the producer in Macbeth, and that's why she knew what the daggers were from, because they were leftovers
Right.
from Macbeth. And Ewan, who was the director, had also directed that. So, like, technically, they each had two. So then you're like, oh, like, who's like, even though they're saying it was Tony's knife, but like, some of them technically had extra.
Yes.
And so, yeah, so, like, that's all like weird and interconnected. And yeah, like, Ewan had ties to Harriet, the critic, because she had like given him many a bad review. And there was one play where something had gone wrong and like an actual fire burst out, and the actress had like been
Yes,
burned and put in the
that was
hospital, and like,
wild.
and then he was mad because like Harriet still put out her review even though like the play literally wasn't going past that opening night, because but it ends up that like he married that actress,
Yeah.
and like it's all like, yeah, again, like everyone, it's all weirdly interconnected to different things. I'm
Right, 'cause
like,
then I was like, is that gonna be a point that's like,
and that's what I was
yeah.
like, every time they went to talk to someone, there was a little bit more. And obviously, like, Hawthorne being the, like, detective guy, he doesn't really say much. Because it's clearly, like, you know, he probably, like, knows more than, like, whatever. But, like, the way, like, we keep getting all these little things, and they just keep getting, like, more and more interconnected. But then we learn that the accountant
Yes.
is actually, so we'd already known that Harriet had already written. She used to have the crime beat before she was on the theater beat, but she also wrote like true crime novels. And like again, because it's just so like brushed off. And they're like, oh yeah, one was about this doctor who killed his patient. One was about, you know, this boy who like killed his teacher. One was about blah blah whatever. Meanwhile, that boy was the accountant's brother.
Yes.
So then they're like, so Hawthorne is like, okay, well maybe this is all somehow like, has nothing to do with mind game, but is, you know, connected
Right.
somehow. So they go off to the country
Yes, to
because
where this murder took place, this previous murder with the boy killing his teacher.
yeah, and it was, you know, the parents were like super rich and they moved out to this to the country, and the village didn't want them there because they were super left wing or something, and they still like
Yep.
to hunt foxes, and it was a whole big thing.
Yep. Labor.
Yeah. I was like, what is it called over there? I can't always remember.
Labor.
Yeah.
The Labor Party.
Yeah. And then, but like, again, because there's so many, like, so many different things of people and characters. I'm like, wait, where?
Oh, I know.
But they end up, so they end up, like, going to the mansion and talking to the gardener who had been there, like, the 20 years ago when it had happened. And then they go to the school and realize that, like, no one from that time is still there, but the widow to the teacher who had been killed is still around, so
Yes.
they go talk to her, and that's when they find out that like the teacher had totally was just trying to make an example of the boys, and then she had been bought off to like not tell the truth, and Harriet's book about them was totally basically lies.
Yeah, it was really awful. Like, and it was interesting too, the way he like was describing how she would be like, it was like she just hated every single person.
Yeah.
Cause like she'd say one thing that was like the one boy, so there's Stephen was the son of like the rich people. Mm-hmm. So he
the
had
brother
all the money.
Of the accountant.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. And then the other boy that was party to this murder of the teacher, was poor. Like he grew up in like council housing, it sounded like.
Yeah.
And so like, you know, she says something about how, oh, he like how he was kind of like a victim of this too, because he was just like a poor kid, blah, blah, blah. But then also at the same time was just like saying really awful things about him. So she was just like saying awful things about everybody.
Yeah. It was not surprising.
No.
But, like...
Well, and the gardener is the one who first drops the, so the lawyer for that whole case for Stephen, yeah. The rich boy, tried to make it seem like, what was his, Wayne.
Yeah.
Tried to make it seem like Wayne, because he was a year older, was sort of like the instigator of everything.
Mm-hmm.
But then the gardener was like, no, think about this for a second. Like, this kid from this estate housing coming to this insane mansion with like a pool and everything. Like, you really think he's the one that's in charge here? Like, no.
Yeah.
And that's when, yeah, then the widow sort of confirms all of this.
Yeah, and even just like in Harriet's book, you know, she kept talking about how like, oh, like Stephen was so innocent. He just carried his like book around and like blah blah blah. And...
Yeah.
But like, oh, the other one, you know, his dad was a drug addict. He was so crazy. Yeah. And like, and again, it was just because like she decided what she believed. So then that's what she wrote. And then that's mm-hmm. what like,
yeah, was it somebody said she never let the truth get in the way of a good story?
Yeah, well, it was, how did she, I wrote it down. She tells the truth, but she embroiders the truth.
Yes.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
And I was like, I like that.
Yeah.
Because then they also go to talk to her old boss at her mm-hmm. old paper. Where she had wanted to switch from crime to theater.
Yeah.
And conveniently, the theater guy died.
Yes.
Of food poisoning.
Okay, well, so I will say that I thought that was dodgy the entire time.
Yes, because we know that he and Harriet had gone to dinner together.
Yes.
And he, but like, so they both got food poisoning. She was sick too. But he had a weak heart and he ended up dying.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like, I think the second time it's mentioned, then it's like, that she picked the restaurant?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, from the drop, I was like, she totally killed that guy.
Right? Same. But, I was like, she murdered this man to take his job.
Yeah. Because she'd gone, like, once he died, she went to the boss and was like, either give me theater or I'm leaving. So he, like, gave it to her. But then, yeah, then, it, like, when they talk later on, it's like, she had, because for one of her other novels, she had befriended the one serial killer. And they're like, oh, like, she easily could have talked to him about, like, how to, you know, make herself sick enough and then poison the other. And you're just like, oh, my God.
Yeah. Bananas. Well, and, like, so she picked the restaurant and it happened to be a restaurant that had, like, a bunch of,
bad
like, a
reviews.
Reputation for being, like, potentially giving people food poisoning.
Yeah.
Which, like, why would you pick that?
Yeah.
Unless this was your plan.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, and like they had kind of, the boss had alluded to that, like Frank, well, it's the guy that she may or may not have killed, that he was kind of very harsh in his mm-hmm. reviews, and that she'd kind of learned that from him, and that's where the title comes from, that she had learned, like, the pleasure comes from the twist of the knife. Like, she was, everything she wrote, even in the actual review of Mind Game, like, it was these, like, personal digs.
Yeah.
That if you didn't know, you wouldn't know.
Mm-hmm.
But if you were that person, which, again, like, as they go through it and, like, Hawthorne talks about it, it all, like, you see all of it.
Yeah.
If you were just, like, reading the paper, you wouldn't think it was, like, some kind of
Yeah.
Because, she says something to Ewan at one point and talks about some of the hotel. You know, it doesn't really, catch fire or something like that.
Yes, I
and
was going to mention
obviously
that,
you're
too.
Just like, oh, that's nothing. But what she's saying is, oh, you lit that... You lit people on fire that time.
Which is, such a harsh thing to remind people of. obviously that was not intentional.
Yeah.
Damn. Yeah, she seemed horrible.
Yeah.
That's hilarious because, zero people that they talk to seem particularly upset that she died.
Yeah. Well, that's why then, the whole time, you don't really, which I mean, I guess is the whole point of something like this or any of these kind of things is everyone's as equally plausible.
Yes.
So it's just a matter of
she had a lot of enemies.
Yeah. Who actually did it? Mm-hmm. and when they come back from the country, that's when the lab's back up and running. So the police are literally as Tony's about to walk home. They're rolling up on his place. So
he goes on the lam.
Yeah.
He's just oh no, I can't go home. That's not happening.
Yeah. But he goes to Hawthorne's and has to beg for him to let him up.
Oh my God.
I really like them. I would be, and because this was such, I mean, I like these kind of whodunits and it was a nice, quick, easy read. I would want to read some of the other ones just to have more. It would be a good, because obviously I always have to have 8 books on the go.
And yeah, naturally.
I mean, 4. But one of those a nice little palate cleanser or if I was, plain reading or some kind of whatever. No, I definitely want to read some more of these.
Yeah.
Just because you can tell that they have so much history at this point and even when Tony's in Hawthorne's apartment, he has that moment of oh, I could actually learn stuff about him and poke around, and he does for a second, but then he's oh man, he changes his mind and just does the crossword and stuff. Oh man. But then the half brother slash
adopted brother slash
question some sort of relative shows up, and then that's when we're kind of getting a little, because again, he doesn't actually ever know Hawthorne's true history, and something happened at this place called Wreath, which I'm guessing is where his parents died or something. And you're ooh, another mystery. Which kind of in my head now I'm oh, will they tell us in the 5th book? Maybe.
Probably, right? I feel like throughout this whole series, you're probably learning little bits more about Hawthorne with every book.
And then this kind of seemed to be leading up to
maybe a bigger reveal of something.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
But then Hawthorne comes back and he's okay, let's go. We're going to go to the theater. We're going to I've got everybody rounded up. We're going to figure this out. But then we get to the theater. And we have this moment where you're what?
I know. The cops are waiting for him.
And the Detective Inspector Grunshaw was thanks, Hawthorne. And I was you bitch.
Right? And I was what? He betrayed him? I mean, Tony has the same reaction.
Well, and it's a thing where you at first I was son of a, but then I was oh yeah, no, based off of everything I know about him so far, I am not surprised at Hawthorne whatsoever, because it also kind of seems something he would do, but at the same time I was dude.
I know, right? It's true.
But then once you realize everyone is there, all those people that we listed before, and that part of the deal of turning over Tony was that Hawthorne had 30 minutes to explain everything, and that's why because I'm old was the Columbo moment. Excellent. And for anyone who's ever seen Columbo, that's exactly what happens. Hawthorne is very Columbo, he talks to everyone, never really, every time he asks a question he definitely already knows the answer,
right?
And then at the end has this moment where he casually just talks through everything and is like, huh, you're the murderer. And then everyone's like, oh, man.
I do love that about, the murder mystery style
in
general, is that moment when, you get walked through everything.
Yeah.
Yes, explain it to me.
Yeah, or, in a movie when then, like, you quickly get the little, like, montage, you know, like, yes. Ocean's 11, right? Like, you don't know how everything's working,
right.
But then you get that moment of they show, like, how everyone was, this one was in the box, and then that one went there, and that was a fake tape, but, like, whatever. I love it so much.
Yeah, same. Yeah, or, like, the, like, Glass Onion, and, why is the first one escaping me?
Oh my god.
What?
I can think of characters' names. This is a whole moment.
Wow.
Yikes. Knives Out.
Thank you. Knives Out. Wow.
Yikes. Rough.
Yeah.
Yeah, just that, like, so good. Okay, so why don't you walk us through
everything? Okay, am I going to be able to do this correctly? I can't remember where he, like, starts to
with, like, Olivia and Skye.
Right. Yeah. Right. So we find out that
we've always known that they were friends or knew each other.
We have found out through the questioning throughout the whole novel that the review Harriet wrote had not been published yet.
Yeah.
And the reason that Skye had it was because Olivia sent it to her. So at the very least, they are friends and talk to each other.
Yeah.
But we find out through this whole reveal section that they're actually in a relationship.
Yes.
With each other. A romantic relationship.
Yeah.
That Olivia had hid from her mother because she's a homophobe.
Yes.
Just in case we weren't sure that she really was awful.
Well, and there was one or two other mentions of that somewhere as well in the books. And then, like, when this came around, I was like, oh, right. She's,
Because there was almost like they seem like throwaway comments.
Yes. Ugh.
Of, like, how one of her first reviews or something of a play, she, like, completely panned it, not even because the play was bad, but because she didn't like the fact that there was a lesbian relationship in it.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So we find that out.
Yes.
Then
it's Jordan.
Right?
Yes. And Maureen.
Yes, that's right. That was wild too. So, and again, I'm sure we also, because we get Jordan's whole kind of, like, background in acting, mm-hmm. and we find out this thing about Maureen that she's seen Cats, like, so, like, 100 times.
Yeah, and Amit, before he was a producer, mm-hmm. he, like, built all this software for, like, basically the ticketing system that's currently used for theater and stuff. And so he had, like, seen that in the system, so he, like, bumped up our ticket to, like, front row and, like, made it a whole special night for her.
Yes.
And she got to go meet the cast.
Which, at the time, was Jordan playing Mr. Mistopheles.
Yes.
Insane play. So, yeah, so they have this. So Jordan, because he had been fighting with his wife, was actually staying at the theater. Like, he hadn't gone home. He slept at the theater.
Yeah, and, like, had been staying there. Like, he had more clothing than most people should have. Yeah.
Yeah, and he had, like, his wedding photo there, and, like, this is what Hawthorne all picked up on. Yeah. And so that night, in order to make it look like he was, so going in and out of the theater, you have to, like, sign yourself in and sign yourself out on this, like, logbook. And so Maureen signed him out.
Yeah.
So this is where we were like, cannot believe I did not notice this. Because what happens is you see everyone that put the name and the time that they signed in at.
Yeah.
And then the time that they signed out. And like I said, like we already said, we both noticed that some people were using a 12-hour clock and some people were using a 24-hour clock. Yep. What we didn't clock was that Jordan signed in using a 12-hour clock and his sign out was using a 24-hour clock.
Yeah.
Because Maureen signed him out and she uses a 24-hour clock.
Yeah.
Yep.
And yeah, it's like they weren't like officially together. Like it didn't sound like they were like doing it together, but like clearly there was something between them and she was very protective of him and they were
Yes. Yep.
Man.
I know. Then he goes to Ewan, the director.
Yeah. I think that's when it then gets the explanation of like how she probably killed that other guy.
Oh, yes, that is.
I think
exactly
that's how it kind of goes from like Ewan into that whole thing.
Yeah, correct. I was like, I don't remember what happens with Ewan. That's because we already went over it.
Yeah.
I love too how in this scene her husband's like, yeah, I could see that.
Yeah. I know, like he actually says it. He's like, yeah, okay.
Well, and then we find out that she had written this man's obituary before he had died.
Yeah, because he had gone into a coma for a day.
Yes.
But when she got home, like, the next day from the hospital, because, like, she was sick enough that she, like, mm-hmm. spent the night, she started writing it, and he wasn't dead yet.
Yeah. Yep. Then he goes to Martin, right? The brother of Stephen.
I can't remember. Maybe. I don't think I wrote anything down for that, because the next thing I have is about the towel.
Oh, okay. Should have taken better notes. Anyway, yes, we find out that the way that... So there were a few pieces of evidence that were pretty damning for Tony. One was the knife, which mm-hmm. had... That particular one had a loose piece, but it also had his fingerprints on it.
Yeah.
But he couldn't remember what he had done with it, and it was possible he had left it at the theater before he went home. So, yeah. like, somebody could have stolen it. Mm-hmm. The second piece was a hair that they found that the DNA was going to prove was his.
Yeah.
A hair that they found on Harriet's body.
Yeah.
And then there was, like, a particular cherry blossom flower that they had found...
In a jacket
that looked like...
The jacket they had seen.
Yes, on the CCTV footage that they got near Harriet's house.
Yeah.
Yes. Wild. So we find out. So all along, we're like, he's being framed. He's being framed. And Hawthorne is like, this doesn't make any sense. Why would someone frame
you,
Tony?
Yeah.
Like, when Jordan is the one that actually made a vocal threat.
That everyone heard. Yeah.
And, like, everyone, like, we're going through it, like, everyone had a reason to hate her. But, like, why would you choose to frame Tony instead of Jordan? So this is when we find out that it was raining.
Or again.
At the theater.
It's that throwaway thing.
Yep, throwaway thing.
Where when they, after they'd gone from the, like, after party to the, just them at the theater, it was raining. Tony dried his hair off with one of Jordan's towels.
One of Jordan's towels. Which ended up back in Jordan's dressing room.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, the killer stole that hair off of that towel, thinking it was Jordan's, which also I was like, do they have the same length hair? Jordan has a ponytail. Terrible criming.
It's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. And then, of course, mistakes the knife that's left at the theater for Jordan's as well.
Yeah.
Even though it was Tony's that he forgot. Oh, and there was one other thing that Hawthorne noticed that, again, I knew it was going to be significant somehow, but I couldn't figure out how, is there was a pack of cigarettes that they found in a garbage can that still had 3 cigarettes in it, but they were broken.
Yeah, and it was Ahmet's. It was the producer's cigarettes, because it was, like, a specific brand. Like, his Turkish brand or something.
Yes.
And you're just like, this doesn't make sense. You know, oh, man.
And this is when we get the reveal. That it's Tyrion.
Yep. Which, previously, at the beginning, Tony, mostly just because... At some point earlier in his career, Tyrion had, turned down a show that Tony was writing.
Yeah.
And just because of, based off of that and just kind of, like, bad vibes, he was like, it's totally Tyrion.
Yep. So, yes, Tyrion was the one who stole the hair and stole the knife. And he used, so in order to, there's another throwaway weird thing that doesn't seem to be that important, is that a light bulb exploded or was broken or something. Yeah. So... Yes, he jammed the emergency exit door open, like, yeah. so that it, he could open it from the outside with the cigarette
yeah.
pack. And then smash the light bulb as a distraction so that him opening the door wouldn't alert the door guy,
mm-hmm.
Keith,
yeah.
that somebody was in the theater. So we get all this, how it was all framed. And then we find out who Tyrion actually is.
Yep. He's Wayne Howard.
Yes, which I had figured out. By the time we figured out that it was Tyrion and we were getting closer, I was like, oh, I understand what's happening here. He's Wayne Howard.
Well, because, yeah, like, there was times where I was trying to figure out, because at some point I was like, oh, I wonder if it was that other boy who, like, now would be a man because it was about 20 right. years or something. And, but then I was trying to, like, you know, exactly, like, when we didn't know if it, for sure, like, obviously it had to be one of them, but it was still that trying to, like, figure out something. And then I was like, mm-hmm. oh, is, like, Wayne Howard just going to, like, roll up from somewhere else? No, he was right there the whole time.
He was right there the whole time. Right there the whole time.
Yeah.
And then we find out that, like, Harriet had, like, specifically had been saying, like, little things both in the review and I think...
And at the cast party, too.
At the yeah. cast party, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
But, to let him know that she recognized who he was.
Yeah, and, like, people didn't realize necessarily that she was talking about slash to him.
Yes.
Because, yes. you know, like, everyone was kind of, like, standing in a thing, and then, yeah.
Yeah.
And he just didn't know if she was going to, like, do something or not.
Yeah. Well, and there's a whole thing about how he got his name from some names in, like, the Chronicles of Narnia books, which was the book that Stephen was carrying yeah. when he was, like, on trial. And I was like, oh, my
yeah.
God.
Yeah. yeah, it was all... Well, I love, too, how, because it was, like... Right when, like, Hawthorne was like, it's Tyrion. He's like, you can't know everything. Like, I was so clever. And Hawthorne was like, yeah, we already showed, like, how you mucked up, like, seven mm-hmm. things.
Mm-hmm. yep.
Oh, and yeah, and, like, he had turned down that show mm-hmm. because he would have been playing, like, a young criminal.
Yes.
And I guess because he'd been arrested and gone to jail when he was, like, he was still old enough to be tried properly, but, like,
yeah.
it was kind of, like, juvie of some kind, so they had some sort of, like, new identity situation program mm-hmm. once he got released.
Yes.
So that's why, like, the story that he told Hawthorne and Tony about his past was real.
Yeah, because it was the one they gave him.
It was the one that, like, the legal system of some kind gave him.
Mm-hmm.
But, like... Yeah, he was just like, you were so clever. I was just like, oh my God.
Yeah, so he ended up killing Harriet because she recognized him and he thought that she was going to tell everybody who he actually was.
Yeah.
And it would ruin his career because he was up and coming with the whole, like, role in the Christopher Nolan film and, like, all that.
I loved it when, like, the afterward.
I know, it's so funny.
He's like, I think I have to apologize to Christopher Nolan, but, like.
So funny.
Hopefully we're cool.
Yeah.
And then it ends with, like, Tony's taking a break from Hawthorne. He and his wife go on a trip to France mm-hmm. for a little bit. I guess as an apology. Sorry, I didn't tell you
that I was in jail and under suspicion of murder.
And, like, the police roll up on your house. And then he starts working. He's working on another one of his books. But his agent asks him to, like, come in. And that's when Hawthorne's there. And he previously, again, at the beginning, throwaway thing about, like, oh, like, she's going to be my agent, too, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And Hawthorne, he's like, yeah, so technically, because we weren't, like, working together, you are my client, so, like, you actually owe me money.
Yeah.
Because I, like, did all my detectiving for you.
Yeah,
because
I offered my services and performed those services for you.
Or you can sign this new book deal where we're going to do four more books together.
Yeah.
And they're going to be named after me.
I know, he has the one down as titled Hawthorne Investigates, yeah. and, like, Tony's like, I'm not calling a book that. That's not happening. So funny.
And then, of course, it ends up with Tony just being like, where do I sign?
Yeah. Man, too funny.
Yeah. I enjoyed it. It was good.
I also enjoyed it, yeah. Well, and I love how, too, like, the way that Hawthorne gives nothing away, like, Tony has no idea what's going on sometimes, and he'll, like, ask him questions, and Hawthorne just, like, doesn't answer.
Yeah.
It's like, it's not important. Or, like, the way he's just absolutely so disparaging of the detective, like, yeah. the police detective, like,
Drancha, yeah.
detective inspector or whatever, just, like, when he's doing the whole reveal at the end, every once in a while, he's like, are you keeping up? Like...
Yeah,
don't worry, I'll go over all of this again.
Because, like, previously, like, they've had run-ins with this
yes.
detective before. And, like,
which is
clearly,
something that happens in Sherlock Holmes as well.
Yeah, where, like, they solve it before she could, kind of a thing, yes. so she already yes. doesn't like them.
Yeah.
And, yeah, at the end when he was doing the reveal and he was like, I'm gonna go over it, I, like, burst out laughing.
Oh my god, it's so funny. Like, it's hilarious. Just, he thinks that she's so incompetent, and it's yeah. so funny. Which, I mean, to be fair, based yeah. on the track record.
Well, because, like, she didn't even remotely clue into any of the stuff
no.
with Harriet's past book. Because, like, the whole thing mm-hmm. is that, like, Harriet had that book out on her study, on yeah. the desk, as if she was going to, like, talk about it or something. So, like, she knew that, like, Tyrion was going to come, and they were, like...
Mm-hmm.
And he kept saying, like, that had to be for a re- like,
yeah, she like, just she randomly have put that book out for no reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, that's why then they ended up going out to the country to Moxham and all that stuff. And, like, yeah, the detective didn't actually, like, do any of that or figure any of that out.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yes. I think this was a nice, fun... I feel like sometimes when people say, like, fun or, like, light reads, that means that it's, like, not, I don't know, at some sort of level of something. But, like, mm-hmm. for gloomy January,
that was perfect.
This was awesome.
Yeah. Truly.
Yeah.
Gloomy I feel like I January. Need to read more, like, murder mysteries like this. Like, not the, like, sort of thriller murder mysteries, but, like,
yeah,
this kind.
Well, because, yeah, like, normally I do read more of, like, you know, we've done, like, a Riley Sager.
Yeah.
I read a lot of, like, Simone St. James, mm-hmm. Lucy Foley. Like, those are much more, like, murder thriller.
Yeah.
Whereas this is just, like, there's still murder.
Yeah, but it has more, like, a Murder, She Wrote kind of vibe.
Yeah, like, it's, I think it's different between the, like, murder mystery and, like, or, like, thriller and whodunit.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. Like, this wasn't a thriller. This was
no.
a whodunit.
Absolutely.
Whereas those are, like... thrillers, because, like, you don't know if someone's gonna, like, the main character's gonna die at some point.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Like, that's
whereas,
the difference.
Like, in this case, like, you know going into it, there's no chance that
yeah.
Hawthorne or Anthony are gonna die. And also, you know, there's no chance that Tony's actually gonna go to jail for this crime.
Yeah, but, like, had no idea how we were gonna get there.
The fun in one, like, this is, like, the puzzle of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's the other book that I'm listening to right, or the book that I'm listening to right now. Is The Last Thing He Told Me by Laura Dave,
okay.
which I believe has been turned into an Apple
Ooh.
Plus show with, I want to say, Jennifer Garner. It's one of the
oh
the Reese production company
okay,
situations.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But some of my Tumblr friends and I have, like, a book club, and we've been listening to it.
Oh, nice.
And it's the same thing. It's very much this, like, whodunit mystery stuff.
Fun.
And... it's the same thing. So, like, that's what we're, every week we're talking about it. And where we had to, like, stop listening. It's, like, because we, like, broke it down into sections of, like, okay, it's, like, you know, week one, this many chapters, whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where we had to, like, so on Saturday I had to, like, stop listening because I was, like, if I listen to, like, the next part, like, I'm finishing it because it's...
Right.
It's this where, again, it's, we keep getting, like, more little bits and you're, like, wait, huh? So, like, at some point, like...
Yeah.
I still have no idea how it's going to come together. And, like, it's so fun.
Yeah, it is fun. It's yeah. super fun.
And yeah, so I would definitely, like, read more of these. And I think, and even again, like, because we jumped in on book four, I think it's totally fine. Like, I would recommend this to someone, or they, if I was just like,
mm-hmm.
oh, if you see, like, any of this from the series, like, just get one. You would enjoy it.
Yeah.
I think my mom would like these because she likes British things and she reads
oh, yeah.
a lot of those. What is... You know, there was the author who, like, did the letters, and then she passed away, so then, like, the alphabet ended in, like, Y or something.
Oh, yeah.
I always forget.
Grafton?
Yes. Which, again, is that kind of, I think, like, mystery something.
Yeah.
And then there's another, I don't know, she was, of course, because of that, then she started reading some other series. Like, yeah, I think she would like these kind.
Nice.
So yeah, definitely would recommend.
Yeah, definitely. And I know that, like, Magpie Murders I've, like, seen around, and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because, again, like, in my head, probably so much more of stuff that was mentioned was real.
Right?
Because I think when I was, like, reading, and I, at first I didn't realize, and I saw something about, like, the man, and I was like, oh, yeah, that sounds familiar, like, you know, that totally sounds like a British mystery, and then I was like, wait, no, that actually sounds like something. Because it is.
Yeah.
So excellent winter read.
Agreed.
Yeah, it was just like fun to read, and I didn't need to be like too emotional.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, no, it was like for sure.
Yeah. In 2 weeks, we're gonna be back with.
Yeah, we are. I know.
I was waiting for this before we even knew it was a thing.
Yeah.
So if you've been to the pod before, you may have heard me mention Paper Houses by Dominique
Fortier. One or two times. Like,
maybe three tops. And by three, I mean like 300.
Yes.
I want to say episode 26, but that might be a Jedediah Jenkins one. But that just stands out as, like, one of the books. I can't remember exactly which episode.
I will look it up, and I will.
Yeah. But it was our very first Coach House book. It was about Emily Dickinson, but there's, like, the narrator, but is it the author? It's the same thing where you kind of don't know, like, what's real or what's fiction. Yes. But there is a sequel.
Yes.
Called Pale Shadows. And... I think it's more about Lavinia, so, like, after Emily dies, her sister.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, again, because I haven't, like... I didn't want to, like, touch it, because then I was going to, like, never put it down.
Right.
And I wanted to read Paper Houses again, and I literally, like, opened it up, and there's, like, an Emily Dickinson quote first. Like, you know how there's, like, a quote at the beginning of lots of books? And I, like, read that and was like, you got to stop, because it was, like, the most amazing episode. So I was just like, put that away. So yeah, so in 2 weeks, I'm assuming, obviously I haven't read it yet, it's just going to be me blabbering on for however long.
It's probably going to be a rambly episode, because that's how we roll.
We are very excited for that.
We are.
And then we're going to follow it up with a James Baldwin.
Yes. Yes.
For February. So definitely stick around.
Definitely.
It's still cold, but we have a little bit more sunshine, so.
Yeah.
You know. Yay. And yeah, we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Bye.